Blog Talk Radio.
This is a journey.
Assalamu alaikum. You are out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. I am your host, Jihad Muhammad, and the topic tonight is male and female relationships. What's going on in America? What's wrong with commitment? Why aren't we getting married? He's too bossy. She's not clean enough. She don't have time for me. He don't take care of his children. What say you tonight? Call in 646-716-5971. Let's roll, Brother Vernon.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Tonight, our guest in queue, Dianetic certified brother of ours in the Nation of Islam in Dianetics, is our brother tonight, Brother Stanley Batin Muhammad. Along with our brother tonight is our brother student minister, Brother Marcus Muhammad. Along with Brother Marcus Muhammad tonight is the co-founder of Nation Building Network, Sister Marilyn Boyd Muhammad. And tonight we have a very special lineup tonight. Everybody knows Brother Jihad is a soldier of the Army of Muhammad, and I normally do shows dealing with justice issues. But I've been asked, I've gotten so many emails inboxed on Facebook and phone calls concerning male-female relationships. And so tonight, as I began to prepare, rather, during the week, I learned that this is a justice issue. And this issue is a matter of national security, and you will see that tonight as we deal with part one of this issue of male-female relationships. Let me introduce you to my panel. Let's go over and talk to our brother, Dianetic Certified in the Nation of Islam, Brother Stanley Batin. Brother Stanley, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
How are you doing tonight, dear brother?
I'm doing fine by the grace of Almighty God, Allah, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Can you give our audience, tell them a little something about yourself? This is the first time you've been out on the front line with us tonight. Give us a little something. Give us a little history about yourself real fast.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm a brother in the Nation of Islam. I've been following the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan since 1978 and doing everything I can to contribute toward the cause and throw a stone at the devil, and trying to train myself as a FOI to overcome all obstacles in my path and to try to spread whatever light Allah has blessed me with to others.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, beloved. Sister Marilyn Boyd Muhammad, co-founder of this network that we're on tonight. My sister, assalamu alaikum to you.
Well, alaikum salam. How are you, Brother Jihad?
I'm doing wonderful, by Allah. So can you talk to our audience and give them a little something? Let me put it to you this way. Most people from Nation Building know who you are. Let me ask you,
sir,
what inspired you to want to do a show like this tonight?
Well, what have inspired me, and I, you know, last week we basically had, you know, talk about it, but I know, you know, a lot of us are suffering in our relationship, and a lot of us, you know, we just don't understand and we don't know what the true meaning of the word love. And I hear a lot of, you know, sisters, you know, they talk about, I hear a lot of believers, they talk about it and we use that word, but do we really understand what that word means? So that's what, you know, basically inspires you, me as far as doing the show tonight.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. Brother, student minister Marcus Muhammad, no stranger to the airwaves. How are you, dear brother?
By Allah's grace, I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, sir, by Allah's help. Brother, this is your first time really on this show, really to be interviewed. You've been on before to talk about your project that you're working on that's pretty much relative to the show tonight. Can you talk to us and let us know how that's going as far as the journey that you're taking?
Yes, sir. First, I want to thank you and thank Allah for the blessing of being alive in 2012. And I thank Allah to be on the panel with my dear brother, Brother Stanley Battine. He failed to mention the most important aspect, or one of the most important aspects of what his work is, and that is he is an incredible musician. And I have had the pleasure of having all of his CDs, and he is quite an accomplished brother, and I'm just honored to be on the panel with him. I truly feel that he's a great asset to the discussion tonight. He has much to offer, and to be a part of this with Sister Marilyn, it is a true joy, Sister Marilyn, to finally be on a panel with you. Thank you for the pleasure of your company as well. Brother Jihad, again, thank you for the opportunity to come back on your powerful show and reach the Nation of Islam in this way. The project that you referred to is the Black Marriage Retreat. And right. By Allah's grace, this is our third annual Black Marriage Retreat. And this year we have a cruise to Jamaica scheduled. And we have couples, by Allah's grace, coming from all over the United States, traveling with us on this cruise. We call it the Love Boat. And we're going to work on mending our marriages, and we're going to work really hard on trying to stay the course that we were on when we first looked in each other's eyes and we said, I do. And it is not that we are experts on this topic. It is just that we would like to help others to help us, because we get just as much out of it as the participants who come with us. The registration deadline has passed. It was October 16th. And all those who are coming will meet with us December 15th through December 20th, and we'll be on a cruise to Jamaica, inshallah.
Praise be to Allah, beloved. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I'm going to start the show this way because, you know, those that are married are really fortunate, because this show tonight, when I show you some of the things that we've learned in the research just to prepare for this show, Brother Stanley and Sister Marilyn, Brother Marcus, this is really a conversation piece. And I want all those that are out there who would like to chime in, when it's time to get online for questionings, just press 1. And Brother Vernon, who's my ace man back there, who locks it down for us on the technical side, he'll acknowledge you and let you come on in queue. My question to the audience tonight out there is, what is your concerns when it comes to the male-female relationships in America today? What are your concerns? Well, we don't want you to get on and do a 10-minute sermon, but just hit it and quit it, and then let's talk about it. But let me start out this way. I want to start off from the education that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan had put out, called Study Guide 21, The Education Challenge, A New Educational Paradigm for the 21st Century. He goes on to say, at the root of every civilization is a knowledge inherent in which is an idea that gives energy and direction to that knowledge. But if the idea at the root of that knowledge and civilization is finite, then the world that comes as a result of that knowledge is also finite. It has and ends. Now, having said that, listen to this, beloved. Statistics on divorce in our world, in America. Black women, 28% divorce rate. Latino, 26%. Whites, 49.7%. Unwed mothers. Black women, 72%. Latino, 33%. And white women, 29%. Native Indigenous Americans, 66%. And Asian Americans, 17%. Abortion. Black women, 30%. Latino women, 25%. White females, 36%. Now, we move to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan mentions when it comes to the gap between black male and black female. He goes this way. College-educated blacks are four times more likely than whites to experience unemployment. Black women account for nearly all of the gains made in black enrollment in higher education since the mid-1980s. Women make up 60% of enrollment at black colleges and 80% of the honor rolls. Listen to the black male. Black males have both the lowest average level of educational attainment and the highest level, nearly 50%, of workers with more education than their jobs require. Brother Marcus.
Yes, sir.
How did we get here? How did we get to this place right now with the disparity with the black male and the black female? Where is the breakdown? What happened?
Well, I think that we got here by allowing this world and this world's knowledge to be the cornerstone of how we function. We rejected the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we reject the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the knowledge that they bring to us. And we follow after people whose knowledge is finite. We follow after people who don't have absolute knowledge of anything and don't have a comprehensive knowledge of anything. And they are our leaders, and we think we're just ordinary people who don't know where to go. So we follow what they tell us since they seem to know where to go. And following them has put not just black people, but white people and the world's people in this horrible, miserable condition that we're in.
Okay. Brother Bateen, what say you?
Well, of course, there is a preponderance of factors that we could look at that would contribute to such a problem. But I have to look at it through the lens of Scripture. You know, in the Old Testament, when you had the children of Israel and Moses and Pharaoh realized that the children of Israel were kind of on their way up, especially with the prophet in their midst, like Moses. And so his decree was to kill all boy babies. And so this can be looked at, you know, physically, literally, or it could be also looked at metaphorically. And what we see is a manifestation of his plot to keep the black man down, because when the black man is down, he cannot assert his proper authority in the household. And if there's division in the household, if there's not unity in the household, then he doesn't have to worry about a family developing and producing children that will be a threat to his society. So this is all in the scheme of survival for Pharaoh. And I guess looking at it from the Dianetic standpoint, we study in Dianetics that every living thing, that number one action that they do at all times is survive. So we see this as a manifestation of a survival mechanism of Pharaoh, Pharaoh being the United States government today, Moses being the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the children of Israel being black people in America.
Okay. Sister Marilyn, talk to us from the heart tonight. What's going on, sister? What do you see? What do you see? What have your experiences led for you? How do you see this thing? Where's the gap? How did we get to this place?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, going back to the Torchlight for America, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that it is always disconnection from God. And that is the root of the improper as far as the relationship between the male and the male and the female. And also, when you go back and you look at back in slavery, you know, we never been taught, you know, how to do certain things. You know, just like when we've been in school, they never taught us, you know, how to take care of family. They never taught us how to love. They never taught us how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be, you know, parents. They never taught us this. So now we are suffering from all of these things. Now we are, you know, in the conditions that we are in, we are looking for these things. We don't know how to relate to these things. So that's why our families now, you know, we don't know how to condition. We don't know how to really show that love, and that's what we're lacking.
Okay. Brother Vernon, do I have anybody in queue that has a question or a statement before we move on?
No, Brother Vernon? We have callers in the line, but there's no one with their hand raised just yet.
Okay. All you have to do is press 1 if you're on the line and you want to get in to talk and express your views on this. Come on in. The water's cool.
Oh, we have someone cool. Just raised their hand, actually.
Okay, well, what say you?
Caller from the 501 area code. Please introduce yourself.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Reginald.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Reginald, from the NYC?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What say you, black man?
Oh, bruh, we have got a terrible situation in front of us. And sometimes, you know, the Quran talks about the decisive and the allegorical, and how we love the allegorical, that which we pontificate on, but we don't like the decisive. We don't like the cut and dry, the thing that is right there in our face that we know that we should be doing. I guess that statement, you can't see the forest for the trees, you know, applies in that we are caught up in relationships, and we either so bogged down in debt and in debt and dismay and dealing with all our issues that we can't work on ourselves nor our relationships, because we're just we're so far away from, you know, where we should be. And unfortunately, that affects every aspect. That affects us being a husband, that affects us being wife, children, how we raise our children, what, you know, our expectations are, and all of that is affected. We seem to have switched roles in many situations because many of our female loved ones make more than we do. They have a professional career with certificates and titles and licenses, whereas many of the brothers do not have that. So we're relying on nickel and diamond jobs, and as we, you know, rely on that, we get caught up. Our wives get caught up in the fact that, you know, they have these degrees and, you know, they have a little bit of status, you know, on their job, and so they've been caught in that situation.
Okay.
All right. They come home and they're talking, you know, giving, barking orders like they do at work, and it doesn't sit well with us.
Okay. Now, you're going in the area I'm getting ready to go to. Brother Marcus?
Yes, sir.
He's touching on something real quick, because the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is touching on something here. Just as Brother was saying, that led right into this next one. The minister said women make up 60% of enrollment at black colleges and 80% of the honor rolls. Where will these women find appropriate mates among our men? There's a gap there, because when you talk about the lack of education of the black man or Latino brothers, you know, there's a gap in education. A lot of us aren't going to college or excelling up the ladder in college and then going out into the professional world finding good paying jobs, and she may excel and make $100,000 a year while brother's still out there trying to push a broom or whatever the case may be just to make ends meet. So he asked the question, well, where would these women find appropriate mates among our men?
Okay, are you asking me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, brother, that's a wonderful question.
Well, see, this is a very serious problem, this gap that's developed, and it's getting wider, sir. It's getting wider. But just whatever you can offer up at this point, because we're going to be rolling through it.
Well, I think that it's important that men really be taught the science of being a man. I think that we have to do a even greater job to teach men earlier and earlier, especially our younger brothers, about what being a real man is. We have to define what being a man is among our own brothers. And I think that we have so many thoughts and ideas out there about what being a man is about, but we really need to centralize it and at least form for men across the stratosphere about what does it mean to be a man. This is what a man does. This is what a man looks like. This is the way a man takes care of business. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he gave us that as he described for us what an FOI is. An FOI is at least should be, a real man. When a woman is looking at an FOI, she should be looking at a man that is made in the image and likeness of God and is actually trying to live up to it. It's a lofty thing. It's a magnificent thing when a man is able to say that he is a man and really has manifested it. And, you know, we are taught that if you want to know about a man, don't ask that man, ask his wife. His wife can bear witness to what he is. And I think that a lot of us as men, we run from women because we don't want to qualify ourselves according to what that woman will say and ask of that man to prove his manhood. And I think that we as brothers need to stop running. I don't care how much money a woman makes, if she has a brother that's qualifying for manhood, he's going to be the man of his house regardless of how much money he brings in. Money doesn't make a man or even break a man. It's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that that brother has. And I think that a lot of times our sisters, you know, they get men in their life who start judging their manhood based on their ability to bring in money or their ability to take care of bills, but that's not necessarily what makes you a man. But a man got to have that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding, and that's why we call it manhood. So many brothers have you know, judged their manhood by the money they make or even an age. But I believe that there is more to being a man than those things. I think it's a lot of what a lot of us as men run from. We run from each other. And when we are taught that men sharpen men like steel sharpen steel, that is so significant because you're not going to become another man only because a woman helped bring you into manhood. You become a better man, a sharper man, because other men had a chance to help you grow from immaturity to maturity. Men don't become men hanging around boys. Men become men hanging around men. And if you know, the scripture says you can tell that we have passed from death into life because we love the brotherhood. So there's a knowledge that is present among the brotherhood that makes every man a man. And young men need to be invited into the brotherhood of men, a fellowship of men that can help fine-tune this young man, this older man, for the challenges that are in his life. And I think a lot of men are lonely. A lot of men don't have any male friends. A lot of men don't want to be involved with a process that would actually bring their manhood to the front. A lot of us want to lay around. We want to talk about sports and entertainment, and we would like to be involved with stuff that really isn't about nothing but just ego tripping and you know, chest thumping, but it's not really signifying that you're on the road to being a man and a God. And I think that that's what we need to take a look at.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Vernon, are you there, sir? Brother Vernon?
I am. I'm sorry.
Okay, brother. Right, Brother Batin got dropped. Can you get him back?
Yes, sir, we'll do.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Caller. We have another caller on from 601. 601 area code, please identify yourself.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
This is Brother Rakeem Muhammad. I'm
all enjoying
the show. I'm loving the show, and as always, you brothers are throwing it down like it should be thrown down on Nation Building Radio. I salute the fruit.
This is the CEO, brothers and sisters on the line, Brother Rakeem, and founder of Nation Building Network. How are you tonight, my brother? Are you? Do you have a comment you want to chime in on this, sir?
Brother, I think I already made my comment, Black man. I think I already made the comment. I'm all fired up just listening to this show, brother. I'm really appreciating the fact that we got intelligent Black men in the nation who know how to be men. And they definitely don't let a dollar sign tell them their worth.
Yes.
We don't.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And a lot of these brothers.
Yes.
If I don't have a dollar in my pocket, and I'm around a sister making some money, I ain't worth nothing. I'm a little punk. I'm like a little bitch to this woman. I ain't worth nothing. That's how I feel if I'm an uneducated Negro who don't have knowledge of self. And
yes,
that's how a lot of these brothers feel. So I'm agreeing with everything I'm hearing. Everything I'm hearing is beautiful.
Beautiful, brother. Thank you so much for calling in, beloved. I really appreciate this. I'm honored. Believe me, I'm honored. I'm trying to get some of our captains around the nation on to come on the line, because you know, inside the nation, the captains make men.
That's
you know,
right.
And so I would love for our listening audience, a male, female, brown, red, yellow, white, makes no difference, to hear some of our captains talk so they can get some of what we got, because some of our sisters don't realize that all of us aren't like slothfulness like this. We're not, all of us are not like that. And so sometimes I would like to see some of our captains around the nation get on the line and come out on the front line and talk to the radio audience. So I'm working on that, Brother Rakim. I'm working on that.
Oh, yes, sir, brother. You're doing a wonderful job. I have no complaints at all, brother. I'm loving it. I'm loving this show. Brother Marcus, are you still there, brother?
Yes, sir, I am.
Brother, you, man, I'm telling you, bro, I thank a lot for you, brother. You come on the show, brother, and you you mean business. I'm serious.
And he don't pull no punches, brother. That's what I love about Brother Marcus.
It is what it is. He don't pour no damn punches, and I did say damn, because y'all got to excuse me. This is Brother Rakim. I mean, some things come out of my mouth people don't agree with, but at the same time, I got to be who Allah made me to be. And I ain't no punk. I don't bow down. I don't scratch where I don't itch, brother. I got to tell the truth, and I'm telling you, brothers, I'm loving this show. Brother Marcus, keep on doing what you're doing. Brother Jihad, I'm loving this show, brother. You really have brought life. This show,
all praise due to Allah.
In the beginning, when we first started this show, I wish, but you know, everything is done in due
in time. That's right.
That's right, brother. So
praise
I'm not going
to
go back in the past about how the show started and what it was about and who was hosting. I'm not going to get into none of that. I'm just thankful to Almighty God, Allah, brother, that you're here, brother.
Praise be to
hey.
Allah.
It's
glad to be
thing.
Here, beloved. Glad to be here.
Yes, sir.
Is brother, Sister Marilyn still there?
Yes, sir.
Sister Marilyn.
Assalamualaikum,
sister.
Waalaikumsalam. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sister. Listen, we never thought in our wildest dreams a nation building would get this damn big. I'm serious. I mean, excuse me, blessed big. This is not nothing damned. Let me correct my language. Blessed. We are so blessed. I'm serious. I mean, this is not me and Sister Marilyn thing, this is our thing. This belongs to the black nation, so therefore we are proud to present nation building to the whole world. Not only in the wilderness or North America, we are proud to present nation building to the whole world, and we are proud to have everyone aboard that is helping make nation building what it's supposed to be.
Praise
be to Allah.
Sister Marilyn, I got a question for you, sister.
Yes, sir.
You know, the unwed mothers, that's a major concern,
okay.
Male-female relationships tonight. Unwed mothers, you know, the black woman is leading in that category among other women in America. She's up to 72%. And the Native American sisters coming right behind her at 66%. But our Latino sisters are down 33%, and whites are down 29%, Asians are down 17%. What's going on, beloved, with our sisters that you know?
Well, yes, sir. You know, it's just, you know, going back, you know, listening to what you were saying, you know, we have to go back to the root of everything, and we have to go back to knowledge ourselves. We use that word every day. We say that word, but do we understand when we say, do we have knowledge of self? Also, we don't love ourselves as women. You know, we look for love in the wrong places, you know, when it comes down to, you know, male and female relationship. A lot of us, you know, going back you know, too, we don't know how to, you know, love. So we look for love in the wrong places.
Okay.
You know, a lot of us, you know, we say that we understand self, but we really don't understand self. We don't know self. We don't love self. So you're going to have, you know, as far as a lot of unwed, you know, mothers, you know, in this world, in society, that's how society has been designed for us to be like that. you know, that's how, when you go back into the history of slavery, that's how they had everything set up, you know, for us to not have anything based on family, for us not to be together, you know, as a family. So you have a lot of us, you know, out there that, you know, are single mothers, you know, you don't have a man around, you don't, and like going back to what Brother Marcus was saying, you know, as far as, you know, the man is running, you know, some, you know, we have to, you know, we have to, this is a critical subject that we're dealing with, and we have to really be real about it. We can't sugarcoat it anymore, because the nation is really suffering from it. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to really say what it is. We can't put it on the back burner anymore. We, you know, we have to really discuss this, because we would never be able to grow as a family if we keep on trying to push it up underneath the rug. You know, our children are suffering, our family are suffering, and our black community is suffering as well.
Okay. Brother Bateen, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. It seems like I got cut off temporarily there.
It's okay, beloved. It's okay. Brother Marcus was laying it down. See, that was his fire that blew your line out, because he was putting it down when you went out. Let me ask this, beloved. With this 72%, regardless of what group you look into, the Asian group seems to be having the smallest amount of unwed. But among our black, Latino, Native American sisters, beloved, what Brother Marcus was talking about making men, well, when you have a high rate of 72%, 33%, or 66%, how do you get to the boys to make men out of them, because most of them are living in single-family homes? I mean, so we're talking about, Brother Marcus is talking about the men being boys because there's no training involved. What can you do, beloved, when you see this gap like this, where there's no men in the home? Now, here's a boy growing up, and 72% of the black household, there's a boy growing up right there with his mommy, okay, and there's no man there. What can we do? How can we get in there?
Well, I think, you know, it goes back to really what you were saying a little bit earlier, and I wasn't blessed to hear what Brother Marcus was saying, but it goes back to training, and I think that's part of where, you know, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the FOI, comes in, is that, you know, that's why the decree is to get all men and boys and make them join the FOI.
Mm-hmm.
And in the FOI, we have to have, you know, training to be men. You know, not just to talk about men, but to be men. Because a real man is going to attract a real woman. And I think it just goes back to training, because it made me think about something what Sister was saying earlier. Sister Marilyn, she was talking about the whole thing of the love thing, and we not knowing what love is, and so forth and so on. And I think everybody knows in their heart, if we had more love, that a lot of our problems would be resolved. If we had the right training, then we would be producing men and boys that would be more lovable, you know, for our sisters. But I think what we have to do, the first thing that we have to do, and I don't want to take too much time, but the first thing we have to do is we have to really understand what love is. A lot of people really look at love as just a strong emotional feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that is, it does contain a strong emotional feeling. But there are components to that. And you have to break it down. It's more than just a feeling. There are circumstances that produce love, and there are circumstances that break down love. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that you can't really say that you love somebody until you are willing and able to give them freedom, justice, and equality. Mm-hmm. And so love, when we're looking for love, and everybody in their right mind is looking for love, because we all are trying to live on the highest level that we possibly can. And going into it from the standpoint of the Dianetics, along with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, say, you want love. All right, so if you want love, it's almost like, well, if I want a cake, then I've got to have my flour, my sugar.
Beloved, you still there? Can everyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Our brother.
He just dropped.
He just dropped again. Can you get him back, Brother Vernon?
I will surely try.
Okay. Let me move on, and then when he comes back in, we'll go ahead and deal with this. Listen to this last statistic. Well, not the last statistic. But now, it's very interesting where you were going, Brother Marcus, with that. But I want to show you something else. Our sisters are really hurting. And this next statistic that I'm going to show you is going to really bring it home. Now, you know we have nearly 1 million black men incarcerated. We got over 800,000 incarcerated, and we got even much more than that are on parole and probation. Now, I believe the statistic is around 8 million black Americans that are tied to the penal system, whether they are in parole, probation, county jail, state, or federal penitentiaries. Okay? Now, here's another statistic. Here's another statistic, Brother Marcus. Here we go. Brother, I can hear that phone. Man. Okay, listen to this. Mixed marriages. We're talking about not our sisters at 72%. Okay? Unwed. But now listen to this other statistic that even adds more strain to our sisters. Black men marrying white women, 35%. Black men and Latino women, marriages are 21%. Black men and Asian women, 8%. Brother Marcus, where is she supposed to find this man at?
Wow.
I mean, you know, and then you add to that the men who are homosexual. You
That's
know,
correct.
In our community, and the down low brothers and switch hitters. I remember I spoke to a group of young men here in Atlanta, Georgia, which is the homosexual capital of the world. And I remember the young brother telling me, he used a term that I had never heard before. He said that he was a trisexual. And I said, what in the world is a trisexual? And he said with glee, he said, that means I'll try anything one time.
Wow.
And I said, Lord have mercy, where are we going with this?
Yeah.
We have made our women miserable because we refuse to be men. I mean, the black woman has a tremendous burden having a man in her life because we're so juvenile and we're so immature. And we refuse to grow up because we're Toys R Us kids. And I mean, there's a whole cycle, a whole culture that coddles us and make it babies us, and it just, you know, always is there to wipe our little nose when we have a cold, and we just refuse to accept that we are men. And I mean, it is so despicable for our sisters. I meet sisters like Sister Marilyn every single day. I meet you, sister. I meet intelligent, strong, beautiful black women who are making no excuses. They make no excuses to us as men. They have children. Their relationship didn't work out with the brother. This one didn't work out. That one didn't work out. They have two or three children, and they're going to work, and they're doing what they have to do. And so I look at that, and I meet them everywhere I go, and these sisters are making it, and they're buying houses, and they're doing it against the odds. What the hell do I look like telling them that I'm a black man and I got it hard and the white man trying to keep me down? And they're tired of that crap. Yes, it's true. But you know and I know that we can't come to a woman that's dealing with overwhelming odds in our own life and then to ask that woman to accept our excuses as men. We cannot do it. And the day for us as black men to continue to be in front of our women making these excuses is over. We have to accept what real manhood dictates is that, like you started off this show, real men meet and overcome all obstacles in their path. And yes, you will have them to prove that you are a man. I'm dealing right now with overwhelming circumstances, and I'm not coming before my wife crying and asking her, well, baby, maybe you need to go and get a job because it's hard out here for me. She don't want to hear that, because my wife for 20 years has watched me grow from a boy into a man. And she made me a man by never allowing me to weaken or punk out on her. She's taken every bill that has come into this house for 20 straight years and laid it in my lap and said, deal with it, baby. I'll take my part, which is the rearing of the children. I'll make sure that we have a home for them. But she never said, I'm going to get a job and help you, baby. And so what did that force in me to do? It forced me to either man up or get the hell out the way so a real man could come. And I think that too many sisters are coddling us as men, babying us as men, and the word that they use is enabling us to continue to be this brother that you cannot respect as a woman. You cannot respect a man that will not accept the challenge of manhood. You cannot accept a man that will not go out there and fight like hell, even if it kills him, to be the man that you can love, honor, and respect. And I think all over the nation, we need to get back to the teaching that said that men gotta take care of their families. Men gotta want to be the man in front of their woman. Our sisters are waiting for us to do it, and now we're gonna leave them because they're so strong and magnificent, and we're gonna find us a white woman? We deserve to be punched in our face as men for leaving the sister in her terrible condition that we put her in. She's not there because she wanna be there. She's there because she can't find God in a man, and that's what's causing the sisters to feel so disappointed when they look at us as the men in this community.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Vernon, do we have anybody else in queue? Any questions out there? You're out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam. You're dealing with part one of a series on male-female relationships. Who do we have, Brother Vernon? Anybody else out there?
Brother, I'm almost shell-shocked. This show is awesome. We have two brothers, actually. We have two callers in the queue. We got one caller from, one just dropped, but we have one caller from 314. Caller from 314, please identify yourself.
Brother Gene X, sir.
Hi, assalamu alaikum, Brother Gene X. How you doing, soldier?
Oh, brother, wa alaikum salam, sir. I just want to extend the greetings to Brother Marcus.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, sir?
Brother, praise be to Allah. I'm wonderful. Thanking Allah for another day to get it right.
Yes, sir. Brother, I look forward to seeing you again. But
praise be to Allah.
But, Brother Jihad, I'm not going to be long, brother, but the statistics that you gave, they're not surprising but alarming. But,
yes.
You know, what you were saying about the question was, well, where would these sisters go, you know, who are getting these college degrees that are making six-figure income? I say to the sisters that are out there listening, come to Muhammad Mosque. That's where the real men are being made. You bring them to Muhammad. That's the only man that can make a man today. And a lot of brothers, we just got a lot of work to do, brothers. I see the brothers out here, they sit in front of video games. A grown man sitting and playing video games for five hours to 8 hours a day. But I don't have much to say, Brother Marcus. You just you said it all in a nutshell, and I thank Allah for you, brother.
Well, Brother Gene, let me ask you a question before you go. Before you go, I got a scenario for you.
Yes, sir.
And Sister Marilyn, and this includes you, Sister Marilyn. You still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I have a brother from India and his wife. They're both from India. They came to the United States. Now, when he came here, you know, he couldn't make anything of what he was doing. He couldn't do anything, you know, as far as trying to find good work to take care of his family, so forth and so on. Well, here we go. The wife goes out and gets a job, and then when she gets a job, he goes to school. As he goes to school, he was in school for, I think, 3 years or 4 years or whatever, and what she did was she went out and worked, took care of the home, and still, you know, did all the things that she could do. When he got his degree or whatever, he goes out now, takes care of the family, and now the wife is home, and now he's taking care of the family. Brother Gene, Sister Marilyn, what say you to a situation like that? Could something like that work for us?
You're saying he went out and got a degree, now he's at home?
Right. He went out and got a degree, and when he went out and got a degree, you know, the wife went out to work, and she was taking care of the bills, and she would come home and still cook. She still took care of the home. She went out and worked and did what she had to do to get the bills paid until he finished school.
Yes, sir.
Once he finished school, he got a nice, good six-figure more paying job. She was able to come off the job and be at home and take care of their family.
Okay.
Now, that's the two of them. That's how they work that out.
Yes, sir.
Because let me show you something, Sister Marilyn. The education, the black man's education, what he is getting in school is equivalent to a third or fourth grade education. They said only 12% in statistics, according to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the Study Guide 21, only 12% of them are graduating on a functional level as a person who graduates high school. The rest aren't. So that means that the education that we're receiving is not making us to be able to compete in this global economy in the United States, because everybody's here now. China, Japan, Korea, right? All of these different countries are here, and everybody's competing for the one pie. Well, if you don't have the education, you can't even get to the interview. So what has to happen is the Honorable Louis Farrakhan talks about a re-education. So here's a situation where the man goes to school to get the education that he needs to compete, and then the wife works while he's doing that. Then when he comes back, gets his degree, gets the better-paying job, she's able to come off the job, and now she's able to take care of her home. But she was locking it down before that. What say you to a situation like that?
Well, I would say that was a sister who understood the circumstances and understood her husband. She evidently, I'm sorry, Evidently, she must saw the God in her husband and made the sacrifice to go out there and do what needs to be done temporarily. But looking at the future, at the end, she knew she was going to be returning home to do what was in her nature to do, is to take care of the family. Now, the chances of that happening within the black community, very slim, you know. But, you know, once the sister know and recognize the God in the man, she would do whatever it takes to back that man. And that's the scenario I see.
Okay. Sister Marilyn, thank you, Brother Gene.
Yes, sir. Going back to the scenario that you put on the table, you know, you have to ask the question, you know, why is it that, you know, any other race of people, why is it that they can come together, they can work together, they can make things happen, and why are we, like, straddling the fence to try to make something happen? You know, why is it that, you know, when it comes down to sacrifice, when it comes down to being able to come together as one, why is it so hard for the black women to be able to join together to help one another? We don't, you know, in our family, we don't do that anymore. One time before, you know, I remember when I used to hear stories from my grandparents, and it always was a team effort. It always was, you know, it wasn't one person doing it all. It always was the mother and the father. It always was parents. But now we don't have that anymore in our community. We are lacking that in our community now. You know, it would be beautiful if, you know, if a sister can sacrifice, you know, get her education, and then later on the husband go get her education and she can stay home with the family. But also going back, you know, like brother said, you know, as a woman, we have to recognize to see that God within that man. You know, every man has the potential to be great, but it has to take a woman. It has to take a woman of God to bring that greatness out of him. You know, we always say that there's no good man out there. That's not right. There is great men out there. There is good men out there. But it has to take us as a woman to bring that greatness out of him. You know, okay. We have so much potential, you know, as a people, but we don't understand the true essence. We don't understand, you know, the power. You know, as a woman, we don't recognize the power that we have within us to bring that greatness out of that name.
Okay. Brother Bartino, you back, sir? He's not back. Okay. Brother Marcus?
Yeah, can I jump in and ask?
Yes, you can, sir, please.
I was going to
give you another scenario. So when you finish with this one, I got another scenario for you dealing with the black man that's incarcerated with felonies.
Okay.
He loves his wife. He loves his wife. She loves him. He got caught up in something. He had to wind up doing his time. But now he comes out, and because he's a felon now with the 13th Amendment, it's very difficult for him to survive as a citizen of the United States. Okay?
Yeah.
Now,
yes,
now he comes out. How can these two work that out?
Okay.
If you want to go ahead and answer the first one first, but that's the second one on the plate.
Okay. I just wanted to say that there are so many sisters that are doing this and couples in the nation that are doing just what you just described right now. The sister is in school and the brother has a lot of the weight of the family on his shoulders, because going to school is a heavy commitment. You know, it's not an easy thing. None of what we're talking about is easy tonight. You know, male-female relationships are the challenge of a lifetime. In fact, Prophet Muhammad described it as half of your faith is tied into your ability to have a successful relationship and a marriage. So, you know, this, none of this is easy, but there are Muslims all over the country and the world even who are right now going through this process that you just described, we're not people who are not capable of recognizing the sacrifices that need to be made in order to have a successful relationship. Every relationship has deficits in it. You know, I know that, you know, there was discussion around my wife wanting to go back to school, and oh, inshallah, we have a plan. In effect, we're in a couple of years, once these children get a little older, that is the plan. But now we as husbands, we have to understand that if we make a plan, we got to stick to the plan. And that's always a challenge, sticking to the plan. You know, it's a heck of a thing for a woman to be afraid to engage in sexual relations with a man, her husband, because she thinks she's going to get pregnant again. And we have to stop having so many babies in the nation that we have no plan for. I think it was the Honorable Louis Farrakhan who just over this weekend cited the tremendous amount of unplanned pregnancy in the world. And we need to think about that. Because when you look at the fact that you have all of these children, were they planned? And if they weren't planned, then, you know, because we didn't have a plan for them, then what happens to the children when they're not planned for? So yeah. there's a lot of thinking that has to go into how are we going to survive, how are we going to thrive, and we got to bring our minds to the table more than we bring our sexual prowess to the table. Because a lot of times broke folks have a lot of sex. You know, because they got a lot of time on their hands. They ain't got nothing else to do but look at each other and decide to get it on. You know, so we gotta have a plan. And I love this definition of planning. Planning is simply thinking in advance what needs to be done in the future. And we can do that. We can use our minds to think in advance of what needs to be done in the future of our relationship. Okay, we may have to scrap 2012. 2012 may not have been good to us, but what is the plan for 2013? How are we going to come into January, February, and March strong? What is the amount of money needed to take care of bills and finances and the expenses of running a home? What's the average amount each month that we need to budget for, to plan for? You know, what are these, who's graduating, who's moving into the house, and who's moving out of the house? We have to think like intelligent people think. This is not hard, but you got to put your mental energy into this. And I mean, a lot of us have not ever been guided to think, to use the power of our minds for our own self-development and our own self-advancement. Many of us, as couples, we still operate like we're two separate individuals instead of the team concept. There is no relationship that's going to survive if we don't come at it as teammates. The one thing that I have seen, the characteristic that is present among all successful marriages and relationships is teamwork. Couples that are successful learn how to work together and stop fighting each other and stop arguing with each other, because as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so wisely taught us, arguments drive the spirit of Allah out of the house. But when we're able to sit down as intelligent, unemotional, rational husbands and wives and talk about together, not in front of the children, what we have to learn to do is talk to each other together and work through disagreements privately together, and then bring the plan in front of the children after we both have cohesion and unity in front of it, and then get the children to buy into the plan that we have come up with. We can't go before the children a disunited front. And this scenario works in all relationships. If you got a man fresh out of prison, yeah, he got some issues that didn't happen to him in his life. Okay, let's deal with reality. You got to deal with first things first. A man can't be out here driving around if he ain't got no license. You know, there's so much stupid stuff that we as men do, women do, that we don't put no thought into. But if you know you ain't got a license, why the hell are you driving? So you already a convicted felon. Now you get pulled over by the police and you driving without a license. So now they caught your butt back to jail again. Well, why were you driving in the first place, brother? You know, we got to stop doing things that put our lives back into the system that we claim we hate so much of.
All right.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I just wanted to conclude that point by saying we have to put more forethought into stuff versus thinking on the back end, thinking once the doors is closed or some cell is being closed off from us. We are quote-unquote free out here. We ought to be able to take three steps by thinking about the step we want to move into. I'm not big on get-rich-quick schemes. I'm not big on that. I'm for planning in advance what we're going to do. I'm very careful about how I give my money and what I give my money towards. And a lot of what I'm investing in is projects that I know work and projects that I can actually have some control and input over. And I think that a lot of us as men and women, husbands and wives, we need to be focused on investing our money into stuff that we actually can see a return on based off the work that we're willing to put in.
Yes, sir. Praise be to
Allah. I'm going to tell you something.
Brother Vernon, before you go to the queue and get others in, I'm looking for Brother Stanley Bateen Muhammad's number. He got knocked out again, and it's a 770 number, 719.
Let me
do
try
you
to
see him out there?
I can try to reconnect him now.
Okay, can you get him back in?
Yes, sir. I'll work on that now.
Okay. Yes, sir, Brother Rakim. I'm sorry, sir. Did you want
to
say something?
No problem. You know something? I'm listening to Brother Marcus. Brother Marcus just wrote a book. I'm serious.
Yes, sir.
He just wrote a book because he implemented so many things.
Right.
And that he implemented so many things, and the sad thing about it is everything that he has implemented, I have seen this. I have not personally experienced this myself because I'm thankful to Almighty God a lot that I'm not dumb like I used to be when I was young. I'm not stupid like that, but I've witnessed so many things that Brother Marcus has implemented in his statement. First of all, I got a brother. He said something, and I'm going to make my brother an example of this. If he listens to this, I got to tell the truth. But when you got young people that don't have jobs, they broke as hell, and they don't know how to get the hell out of hell. They sitting in the house looking at one another, and they sitting up, and they laying in the bed all the time. That's one thing that a lot of people do. They lay in the bed all the time. They sexing like crazy because there is nothing else for them to do. My brother, he's 30 years old. His wife, I think she's probably about 26 or whatever. They have four children. The youngest is 8 months, and I think this woman is pregnant again. He's not really looking for a job. He's sitting around the house every day, not really looking for a job. The woman, she's trying to watch him, trying to make sure he ain't cheating on her or whatever. So she gets a job. She don't keep the job because she's getting into it with him on a daily. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, like Brother Marcus said, we got to use our damn heads for more than a hat rack or wig rack. You know, that most of us put a wig on our head or a hat on our head, and we feel like we got it going on, but we really dumb, deaf, and blind and too damn stupid to even realize it. We don't even want nobody to tell us anything because we grown. I'm grown. I do what I want to do. That's what they say. They don't have more intelligence. I can do what I want to do.
Brother Rakim?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, because you faded out a little bit.
Yes, sir. Do you hear me better now?
Yes, sir.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes. I hear you
yes,
well.
Yes, sir. Brother Bateen, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 1 second. Brother Rakim, go ahead and finish, sir. I'm sorry.
No.
I was talking to Brother Rakim. He was on the other line, Brother Batin.
Okay,
Brother
all right,
Rakim
so
was
yeah, just let him finish. I wait until you call me on, brother.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to hold on. I'm not going to carry this on too long because Brother Mark is really, he really put it down. He said everything that could have possibly been said. You know, Brother Marcus, I'm telling you, brother, you're phenomenal to me. I'm not going to sit up here and front. You are phenomenal, and I love to hear you teach, brother. You be teaching hard, and I'm absorbing everything that you say, and I pray to Almighty God, Allah, that the audience is absorbing everything that you say, because you are throwing down and you are teaching right and exact, and we need to know this and teach this to everybody that we come in contact with, because we're in a critical time that our people really need to get wisdom in their heads. Even the brothers, they're so anxious to get married, and I'm talking about the Nation of Islam now. A lot of people get married for the wrong reasons. You're lonely. And we all grown people on the line, so I'm going to say this, and I don't want no one to get upset with me, but you lonely, and you H-O-R-N-Y, I'm going to spell it out, and you feel like you need to get married because you need to satisfy your sexual aggression or sexual appetite. So you get a sister. You're not planning no babies. You're not planning nothing. You just laying up with the sister and wearing the sister out and beating her down, having baby after baby, because you don't know how to control your sexual appetite, and you act like, if it's safe to say, a man coming out of prison. You don't know how to control your sexual appetite, so you keep on pumping these babies into these sisters, and you don't even have a future that you can plan for these babies, and you don't even have a damn job yourself. But you claim to be a Muslim. You claim to believe in these teachings, but you use these teachings as a front to perpetrate like you really intelligent when you really crazy as hell and don't even know it. That's a problem with a lot of our people. And Brother Marcus, brother, I'm telling you, I salute you, black man, because a lot of our brothers, we do not think about this, and we, being the older FOI, we need to teach the younger FOI. Then we got some old fools, too.
Yeah.
They don't know no better. I mean, really, you got to think about it. The young fools learn from the old fools.
That's right.
These young
That's
people, they don't come here. They're not born here and just doing all this dumb stuff. They have to witness it from somebody older than them, someone who was here before them. They learned all this from the old fools. So we just can't put young people in a box and, oh, he's young and dumb. Hell, we got some old dumb people, too. And that's where the young people are getting it from. But
all
I'm
right.
not going to take too much of the show, brother. I'm going to sit back, relax. I'm going to enjoy the rest of the show. But I love y'all, family.
Thank
and,
you, sir.
I love y'all. And, man, I'm loving this show, brother. I cannot thank Allah enough for Nation Building Radio, Sister Marilyn, Sister Gidger, Brother Jihad, Brother Marcus, Brother Vernon. I cannot, and anyone else that has contributed to Nation Building, and including the listening audience, I cannot thank Allah enough for you all.
Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum salam. Brother Batin, and then I'm gonna go ahead and take some take some callers, because we're getting down to it now. And I want to be able to get the other callers. There's about three more in queue. Brother, let me ask Brother Batin this question, Brother Batin. Black men marrying white women is 35%. Black men marrying Latino sisters is 21%. And black men marrying Asian women is 8%. When you couple that with the high incarceration rate of brothers that are locked down, nearly 1 million black men locked down, when you couple that with a a large or a growing recruiting class of homosexual black men. Talk to us tonight about what we can do. I already can hear the sacrifice. Brother Marcus talked about the sacrifice. Sister Marilyn talked about the sacrifice. Brother Gene talked about the sacrifices that's going to have to be made. This is a genocide taking place here. Talk to us, brother, on what we can do to help our sisters and close this gap so that we can become whole again as family. If you could, please.
Yes, sir. Well, the best thing that I could suggest is that we become more knowledgeable of self. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that it is the lack of knowledge of self that is holding us back. And if we as a people, if we as brothers acquire an adequate knowledge of self, then we would naturally gravitate toward our black sisters. We would naturally be ourselves. See, we don't know ourselves, therefore we cannot be ourselves. And it just goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's in the teaching and the training. And my mentor taught me, he said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came to raise an army. And it is only through that type of posture that we will really rise up as a people. We have to reclaim the knowledge of self, and we have to act accordingly.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, beloved. And by the way, Brother Bateen, I'm voting for you to become our imam in Atlanta, because I know you in practice for it. I just want to put that out there, brother. You got my vote if it comes down to it. Sister, Brother Vernon, I'm sorry. We got some more callers on the line. Who do we have on the line, beloved? I want to get everybody in because it's getting down to it now, and I want to make sure we be respectful of everybody, and I got to be disciplined to the time. Who do we have,
yes,
Brother Vernon?
Yes, indeed. We have a caller from 832. Please identify yourself.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Oh, well, alaikum salam. That's my sister soldier out there. I know that voice. How you doing, Sister Gidget?
Well, I'm over here putting water on this fire that y'all have started, me and Brother Marcus and Sister Marilyn and Brother Rakeem. That's what I'm doing right now.
Well, you know, sister, you got a show coming up on Thursday, and you, before you hang up, you got to let us know about this, because I know you got something going down on Thursday night. But go right ahead, sister. What say you?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I just wanted to mention, you know, something that we really don't look at within the nation. When we're looking at demographics of the original people, you know, we have all types of black people. We have black Cubans, we have black Africans, we have black Haitians, we have black everything. And so there's a line, that, and this is just my opinion, so I don't want nobody jumping on me because, you know, I ain't going to be fronted on. But, you know, we as sisters, we also can sometimes turn a blind eye to other original people. So, you know, there are not a lot of biracial marriages as far as black women to Hispanic men, black women to Cuban men, black women to African men or Haitian men and things of that nature. But you have to realize that when we look at the demographics and how our numbers are calculated in America, when we talk about 41 million black people, they are inclusive of Haitians and black Cubans and black Dominicans and Africans and things of that nature. They're all inclusive of that. The only people that are excluded from that are the Spanish-speaking black people. So, you know, we also have to look at demographics, and we also have to look at fishing because, you know, there's this double standard in society. You know, if a man in a lost found man, if he got a lot of women, he's a player. If a woman lost found or not, if she got a lot of men in her circle, she's a slut. Well, you know, brothers go out and fish for lost found sisters all the time and bring them in the mouth. Hey, sisters, I'm just telling you, sister to sister, go out there. You meet brothers all the time, you know, and if you really want to impress someone, well, then you stand on your square, you represent your Islam, but always invite your brothers to the mosque, whether they're Hispanic, African, Haitian, Cuban, whatever, because these are the original people, and we have to start considering that when we talk about the black population. When we talk about men women outnumbering men, 3-1, you know, America has their demographics set up, you know, a particular way. So when we say African Americans, they are talking about the descendants of slaves. But we have to realize that we have a large original family here. So we need to really be out fishing for our entire original family, create the population of believers, and therefore the population will balance out. But we can't, you know, we can't practice that reverse racism because, you know, a lot of people are not going to own it, but it's true. A lot of so-called African-American sisters or descendants of slaves, however you want to title it, do not look at African brothers. They don't look at Haitian brothers. They don't look at Cubans and Dominicans as original people. They look at them as foreigners.
Right.
Well,
and
we
you
only
think,
know
do
it's,
you,
it's, we already know it's only one foreigner here.
Do you think,
and he's
do you
not
think,
black.
Do you think Sister Gidget is probably because of the cultural differences, not necessarily because of their color, but maybe it's the cultural diversity or differences that's between us? Like, for example, brothers from, say, Ghana, Trinidad, you know, Jamaica, Barbados, as opposed to a brother from America because of the cultural differences? Maybe that's what's dividing us, maybe? Or what do you think?
Absolutely, but you have to understand that the culture that we have now is also not our culture. It's a culture that is taught to us in this society. So therefore, when you want to get back to the original man, you have to make yourself aware of those other cultures. And then just like they're coming over here, you know, they have to adapt to the so-called American culture. But our culture that we practice here is not our original culture because we have no idea what our culture is.
Right. What do you have for us Thursday night, sis? You know I'm going to be there in the back here, but what you got? My audience needs to know. What you got going on, sis?
Well, let me tell you right quick what happened. I had a show that our beloved queen, who's here tonight, Sister Marilyn, assalamu alaikum, it was her birth child. She was supposed to be there. You know, she had some issues. She couldn't be there. So what I did, I gathered some brothers and titled the show, Where Is My Man? And I wanted the FOI to speak to, you know, why they wasn't getting married, some of the challenges that they were facing, and so that the MGT could listen and understand. Well, some of the MGT did not like what the brothers had to say, so they wanted to do a rebuttal of what the brother said on the last week's show. So this week, tomorrow, the show is going to be what the FOI needs to know about the MGT. And it's going to be a sister talk. It's going to be a panel of women. So, brothers, let me put the disclaimer out there now. We're not FOI bashing. We love you. Sisters are frustrated. They want to get some things off their chest, some things that they've seen. But let's use this opportunity to bring about a resolution, to unite, to, you know, not harp on what's wrong, but let's try to make it right and bring some love and some unity into this. And I'm going to try to keep the tempers, you know, to a minimum, because all these sisters, they're very agitated, and I'm gonna temper the wind.
And understandably so. Understandably.
Yeah, and I hope everybody who's listening tonight will listen in tomorrow, especially the brothers, and hear what the women have to say.
Thursday night,
tomorrow, 8 o'clock Central Time.
Okay, today's Tuesday, so you mean Thursday night.
Yes, I'm sorry, Thursday night. I'm sorry,
there you
Thursday, October the 25th.
Okay. Great. Thank you, beloved. Thank you for calling
you.
In, and
you
really brought something.
A wonderful job, Brother Jahan. A wonderful job,
sister.
Marilyn, Brother Marcus, all of you, Brother Bateen. Welcome to Nation Building. Good to have you on the show. Brother Vernon is rocking it as the engineer, I know. I love you all, and thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Brother Vernon, you got one more in queue or two more in queue? What you got? I don't want to disrespect nobody out there. They've been waiting for a while.
Yes, sir. This call has been holding on for a long time.
I'm sorry about that, caller. Who we got out there?
Caller from 314. State your name and identify yourself, please.
It's Brother Gene again, Brother Jahad.
Yes, Brother Gene. Yes, sir, soldier.
Yes, I just want to say, you know, all of us gems, Paul said in the Bible, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge.
Mm.
Knowledge of self, and the brother summed it up earlier, knowledge of self. Knowledge is powerful. If we just had knowledge of who we are and the knowledge of the time and what must be done. Right over here on the city south side of St. Louis, you got the Haitian gang. And what the sister was saying is that we don't see them as black people or our brothers and sisters. We see them as a different, and you ask the question, is that because of a culture difference? It's just a lack of knowledge of who we are as the original man. And I can't say it enough that we just got a lot of work to be done.
Right, right. Praise be to Allah, brother. You're absolutely right, Brother Gene. And Brother Bateen was saying the same thing. It's got to start with that. It's got to start with knowledge.
Yep.
Knowledge itself. And Sister Gidget had hit a beautiful point as well about how we're really one people, one nation.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, brother, thank you so much for your call. Brother Vernon's sister, Marilyn, got dropped off. Can you get her back, or?
I will see if I can get her back.
Okay, and I'm going to get ready to let my brothers make their closing remarks because, you know, it's, well, we still got time, but. I just want to hear from my brother Marcus and brother Bateen again, since there's no more callers in queue. Is that right, brother Vernon?
That's correct.
Okay. Brother Marcus, if you would, brother, can you speak to this for me, please? This is a very serious issue we have here. With the unemployment rate and the lack of jobs and unemployment is high, we have in our original world, black women, 30% abortion, a 30% abortion rate. 30% abortion rate. And we have in our Latino family, a 25% abortion rate. And in the white community, it's 36%. If you could, my brother, can you speak to this issue real quick while there's still a little time left?
Okay.
Yeah. Want me to go back over that again?
I was just trying to find out, how did you want me to address it? What are you looking
this,
for?
This is a well, because we're dealing with okay, we have the unwed at 72%. It's high. But now we got a 30% abortion rate. Okay. among our black sisters and our Latino sisters is 25%. If you could speak to this issue, if you will. We're talking about now the abortion rate is growing among our women now.
Well, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan spoke about abortion this weekend. And, I mean, that address by the minister, and I would like to just share with your listening audience. If you have not heard the Honorable Louis Farrakhan speak, if you did not hear him speak last Sunday, you missed the lecture was just so overwhelming to me personally. And, I mean, it was just masterfully crafted. And it was just a brilliant articulation of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it was the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, when I heard him many years ago speak about abortion, he said something that stuck with me from the moment I heard him say it. And he said to the audience at that time, he said, sisters, you do have the right of choice. You have the right to choose who you lay down with to make a baby. You have the right to choose not to lay down with a man that you do not wish to have a baby by. And I thought that that was something I had never looked at it that way. I had never even considered that that was a choice that a sister had. And that is the truth, sister, that you do have the right to choose the man that you are going to literally go to death's door for. And once you find out that you are expecting life, and this wasn't something that was forced upon you in terms of, you know, you got raped or something like that, that's a different scenario. But now you find out that you're expecting life, then, you know, I love the way the ministers just said the sisters and gave them the hope that there is something beautiful that can come out of something that's not a pleasant circumstance. Right. And I was just so genuinely impressed with that. And I have heard and I've dealt with so many sisters in my life who indeed have had to go through this. Some right after they had the abortion. And I just know the terrific pain that it caused them psychologically, knowing that they chose that for their life. And I just say to any sister who is in that situation where you actually are contemplating an abortion, I pray a lot that you won't do that. I really do. I hope that you will decide to accept life and know that God's hand is over it, that no life comes to term except by his permission. And
right.
I hope that, you know, you will trust in your God enough to know that just like your life has been a blessing to countless others, the life that you carry inside of you will be a blessing to others, and that you have no reason to despair. And that many sisters who, a lot of our young sisters, they get caught up in sexual situations and they end up pregnant. And many of them think that the way to go is to have a quick and easy abortion. But like the minister said, he pointed to a number of sisters on Sunday who ended up pregnant, and they had the baby, and the baby was doing fine, and the baby was a blessing not just to their life, but to the parents' life and to everyone else's life. So
right.
Don't despair, sister. Maybe Allah has something through that child that will better his planet, and I just hope that you will find comfort in those words.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. And I know that there's a sister out there who needed that tonight. And I know there's somebody out there, and I pray that when this goes up on the internet and it goes around the world in other countries, when they hear this, brother, I'm praying to Allah that those words will help somebody to make the right decision. Brother, we got another caller on in queue. I just got a call. He's calling from a 240. And is he still there, Brother Vernon?
Yes, indeed. The caller from 240.
Brother,
there.
Please bring him in. This is my captain emeritus of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who runs the prayer line that I get on every morning. That at the end of my show, I'm always advertising it. Please bring my brother up.
All right, his microphone is hot.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir. This is Brother Curtis Muhammad from the NOI Final Call Prayer Line. Please go right ahead, beloved. Thanks for calling in, sir.
I just want to first give witness and bear witness that there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is his messenger. And seeking refuge with Allah from Satan, the cursed enemy. I just want to say to you, Brother Jihad, and all the brothers and sisters that's working with you on this program, it is a blessing that we try to do all we can to be helpers and aiders to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, I want to say to everyone that talks about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, he is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And had it not been for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his name and the God that he came to represent to us would actually be wiped out of history. So I think when we represent those men, Master Farad Muhammad and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we truly do an injustice if we don't mention how and who we heard these teachings to and who referred it to us. They give us what we need, which is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In this time, we're talking about jobs and looking for someone to give us something who have lied to us and have no desire for us but to use us as slaves. And when we look to them to make a way for us to be providers for our families, then we have already failed. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that we should do for self and that we should turn to the farm now and become unified. We must unite amongst ourselves and create jobs for ourselves and not look for the enemy to give us a job to take care of that which Allah has blessed us to bring into creation. I would like to say that time is on me and I've been on the line holding for some time. A lot of things that I would like to say. I'm going to come back, Brother Jihad.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about the intimacy between the father and the children and the nieces and the nephews that we as men that say that we are FOI, the fruit of Islam, which is the very best of the tree. If we continue to go down the road that we are going down, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching us that we are flatlined. So all the things that you see going on is the thing that dead people do. And until we recognize that we are flatlined and then begin to stop and say, wait a minute, why are we looking for jobs for ourselves? My training and my teaching, even prior to 1975, is that we are taught to do for ourselves. And we are to create jobs for ourselves. And the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is teaching us to go back to the farm. We have plenty of farmland in Georgia and in New York, in Mexico. We got farms that if we don't begin to start producing the right foods, everything that we eat right now is just a subject matter of parasites in the food. And we've been affected even by our bloodline. Before we even if we didn't eat any pork, say if we was born in the nation, but our parents were, that blood was passed on to us, and some of those trichinosis and trichinosis worms are in our system, so it's causing us to go wrong. You know, when you take a city like Atlanta, Georgia, and it becomes the homosexual capital of the world, well, you got a lot of black men down there. It's not a lot of Caucasians. There's a lot of brothers that have become homosexuals, and the reason is that for 82 years, we have not raised the flag of freedom, justice, and equality and teaching do for self. Now we're teaching seeking jobs through somebody else, through corporate America. I need to get this done. We should educate ourselves in the teachings that is being taught to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The blueprint has already been laid out, and we must now strive to unite amongst ourselves as black men. And we should tell our women to put a muzzle on their mouth and keep it inside of the house and teach and train the children. That is their job. It is not for them to get out in the airwaves and blast and discriminate and to downbeat the black man. It is to lift him up from within the house into rear of the children. And we as brothers should strive hard, very hard, to do something for self. I mean, I've seen where I saw brothers at one point in my life. I saw a brother taking care of 6 children and a wife selling fruit on the corner. Fruit, phone calls, and DVDs of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you go from that corner to an establishment of buying or purchasing a facility that you can have an outlet for other people that may be afraid to stop on the corner to pick up an item from you, that they will come to a storefront, that we can start to strive to own things for ourselves. We must begin to do for self and depend on our own self and not depend on the enemy who do not give us nothing but falsehood and lies. I'd like to come back at another time, dear brother, and share a few more things with us about doing for self from the guidance and the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Well, brother, you know I always open my mic to you. You know that. I've been trying to get you, but you've been busy, and I'm glad you came out tonight, and I appreciate that. And this is only part one, Brother Captain Emeritus. This is only part one. We have another part that we're going to do next Tuesday. So we're not finished. We're just breaking the groundwork into this topic of male-female relationships. So, brother, you know, we'll talk off the air. We'll get that straight, Cap. No problem.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank
all,
you,
brother.
Sir. Thank you, beloved. Well, alaikum salam, sir. That was our brother from the NOI Final Call Prayer Line, Brother Captain Emeritus Curtis Muhammad, and that show is every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'll give you the information on that as we close out. Now, I just want to go ahead and so we can get our closing remarks. It's been, we've got something lit tonight. Brother Bateen, did he drop off again? Sister Marilyn, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you still there? My sister, go ahead tonight.
Yeah.
And okay, let me go ahead and talk to you real fast before we close out tonight, because the show is it's narrowing down now. From your heart, just whatever's on your mind about this topic tonight, male-female relationship, because this actually, like Sister Gidget said, was your brainchild that was supposed to have been started last Thursday with her show. And I'm thankful to a lot that you came on our show tonight. Out on the front line with the fruit of Islam, we normally deal with justice issues and stuff like that. But when I did the research into this, I realized that this is a justice issue, because what we're dealing with now is we're dealing with a total breakdown of a people, of a nation. And so I want you to speak tonight from your heart, sister, about anything you want to talk about when it comes to this here subject of male-female relationship. We're going to do part two next week. But just from your heart, sister, what would you like to say in your closing remarks?
Yes, sir. In my closing remark, first I would like to thank you, Brother Jihad, for having me to be a part of this show tonight. I was a little nervous because I was, on the panel, with my, my brothers, the mighty FOI, and I just wanted to, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be a part of this show. But in my closing remark, the key to solving our problems begins with self-improvement. We have to, how critical, as far as the male and female relationship, we have to go back and work on self. We have to go back and study self. We have to go back and understand the true knowledge of who we are as a man and as a woman. We cannot rely on America no more to do anything for us. We have to stand up, the black man, the black woman, not the black woman standing behind that man, not the black woman trying to stand in front of that man. The black woman, she needs to stand beside her man. We have to come together, and we have to do this together. And in order for us to do this, we have to bring Allah back into the center of everything. We have lost focus on that, and we have to make Allah the number one when it comes down to our relationship.
Beautiful, beautiful. And sis, we're not finished with this program. This, like I said, this is only part one. There's another part that I'm going to be doing with this program as well. I'm going to bring Magistrate Court Justice Brother Maurice in with an attorney or two, and we're going to talk about the other side of this: child abuse, domestic violence. Okay, how all this ties in: divorce, child support. All of this is part of the male-female relationship. This is the world we live in. So I'm not finished. This is just part one, and we've broken something in here tonight. Brother Marcus?
Yes, sir.
My brother, would you please do us the honor of closing with whatever's on your heart tonight? Please, brother, don't hesitate to let it all out. You got about, I'll give you a few minutes, so go on and say what's on your heart, brother. And you have done so much for the marriage, the institution of marriage for our young people and for brothers and sisters in our age group. I'll never forget the last time you came on the line and talked about that. And I told you that me and my wife didn't even know Muslims took vacations until we came to Atlanta. All right. And so you really taught me something and gave me a lot to think about. And I just want to thank Allah for you, Brother Bateen. I know he got cut off the air. And but I just want you to just go ahead and talk to the listening audience tonight, brother, whatever's on your heart as it relates to this subject, and close us out for part one, beloved.
All right. Thank you again, Brother Jihad, for the opportunity to be on your wonderful program. I thank Allah over and over again for his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and his representation, his intelligent, rational, sensible representation of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad more now than I ever believed possible because of the way the Honorable Louis Farrakhan represents him. And I know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad loves our people because of what he allowed the minister to experience in trying him thoroughly before he would put him before us as a father over the house. And I think that Minister Farrakhan is the answer that our people have been looking for. But we have to represent the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with intelligence, and we have to be sure that we are not making the minister a man that is sexist, racist, a man that's materialistic, and all those other things that he has guided us away from. And mm-hmm. So we have to be very mindful of how we speak and how we try to reach his people and come at his people in the way that he himself comes after his people. Mm-hmm. I thank Allah for the day that I met him. I thank Allah for the way he has guided the nation to have strong marriages and strong families. This is no macho movement. This is a movement where he puts in front of a woman a man that got his mind right and a man that's working on his ability to rule over something. But, you know, you don't have to ask a wife if her husband is a good leader when he's doing his job. That wife will be out front. She will tell you what kind of man she's married to because she'll be happy. She will be letting the world know that my husband is really striving hard to be the man in the house. And the way he's doing it is not through his muscles. He's not trying to establish his rule with his physical prowess, but he's establishing his rule with his wisdom. And that's what men, we need as men. The natural ruler of the black man is the wisdom of God. And we have to learn how to use that wisdom to inspire men to learn what being a man is all about, the science of manhood, and that a man can become a giant just through what Minister Farrakhan said, one simple word. He said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him one day that, brother, everything you want to know is in a book. We need to read more as men.
we could rule our households with just wisdom, learning what other men are doing and have done, and then implementing not everything, but a little bit of what this man is doing, a little bit of what that man is doing. We need a manhood conference as FOI. We need to bring all the men to one central place, like the sisters had their MGT conference. We need a nation, a manhood conference, and we need to put the best qualified minds in front of the men to teach men what being this man that we've been called to be is all about. And I believe that you would see men, the FOI class, become alive again because men are learning about the science of what this man is about, of being this man. We have the minister's brilliant oratorical genius. I think what has to come behind the minister is a how-to manual, because we need to learn the steps of how to be this man. I've heard the minister. He's called me to be this man. But if I don't have a man in front of me that's really showing me how to be this person, then I'm going to lose it. I'll just be the person I was that was called, but I won't be evolved, and I may not have the maturity level to go inside of me and put it all together. So we need to be guided as men, step by step by step, and then you can make the man. And I thank Allah for 20 years of suffering and learning the hard way, the steps that it takes to become a real man. And it's not no macho madness. It's not no hocus pocus. It's not no chest beating and bravado. It's rational. It's serious. It's disciplined. It's sober. It's thinking. It's planning. It's maturity. That's the word that men need to understand in 2012. It's not going to be because you jump out there and beating on your chest saying, I'm a man. I'm a man. No, show the world that you're the man. And the world will already confirm that you are the man. But you can't force it on no damn body. You can't make nobody believe it. You got to show people. And when you show people, they will respect you. They will honor you. Like the minister said, they will tip their hat to you because you're showing them by your example, not by your bravado. That ain't moving nothing no more. Let's teach men about what being a man is about. And then when that man is who he's supposed to be, his wife, she will bow to the man. When she recognizes one is in front of her, she will bow. She will say, baby, what do you need me to do to help you? She wants to help, but she, as Honorable Louis Farrakhan says, she can't help you do nothing. He can't function off of nothing. We got to put a real plan in front of her that she can see herself in. And she will help you. And then we got to encourage the brothers to look at what their wife is doing. Look at her genius. Look at her skill. Look at her development and see how you can work with that to produce what you're trying to get. This is a team effort. And that's where we got to go in 2013. We got to work on teamwork in the marriages and in the relationships. The sisters in the MGT class got to see that the brothers in the FOI class are their partners. The teamwork got to be there. This is not, no, one side, winner take all. No, we got to do it. We got to win. We. It's a we thing, not an I thing, not a FOI thing or an MGT thing. It's an us thing. And I think that's where we need to go to.
Oh, praise be due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Marcus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And, Brother, I tell you, Brother, no one could have said it better, Brother. I thank you so much tonight for coming on the show. Brother, if you talk to my student regional minister, Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad, can you let him know we've been trying to reach out to him to get him on the air?
Okay, yes, sir.
We have not been able to get through, but this is one of his subjects right here.
Right.
See? And what you're talking about with that manhood training, see, this is his field. And I would love to have him come on. Sister Gidget would like to have him on her show. We would really love to hear from our brother on the show, brother. And we can't get through, but maybe you can. You know my situation, so maybe you can get through and see if we can get him on the air. And we're gonna work on this show some more. This is part one of male-female relationships, and I hope that you, everyone who is on the line, that you got something out of the show tonight. I know I did, and the statistics tell a great story. They tell a great story. As I get ready to close, I just want to share these statistics with you one more time. Divorce, 28% among our black family, and 26% among our Latino family, 49.7% among whites. Black women, unwed mothers, 72%. Latino sisters, 33%. Whites, 29%. But that's our show tonight. I want to thank everyone for being on. Brother Stanley Bateen Muhammad, Brother Marcus Muhammad, Sister Marilyn Boyd Muhammad, thank you for coming on the show tonight. And I just want to say, you know, I get up every morning with the final call prayer line. And that number that you can call into at 760-569-7676. The access number is 906-378-POUND. That's the host, Brother Captain Emeritus Curtis Farad Muhammad, and Brother Wali Muhammad is his co-host out of Chicago, Illinois. That's at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Central Time. Get on the line. This week, they're dealing with how to eat to live, as well as the supreme wisdom and the constitution of what the Muslims want, what the Muslims believe. You don't want to miss that. It's a good way to start your day, is to get up with prayer. So all the soldiers out there, I see you. Seattle, where you at? Boots on the ground this week. Come on, soldiers. Let's fill the mosque. Portland, Oregon. I know nobody shouts you out, but Jihad is shouting you out tonight. May Allah bless the soldiers in Portland, Oregon. Get the job done, brothers. Let's shine them shoes up. Put them suits tight. Get them suits tight. Get them cleaned up. White shirts, bow tie, clean shaven, fast moving, fast thinking. Right down to the modern time. Shout out to the FOI in Atlanta, Georgia. Shout out to the FOI in Jackson, Mississippi. Shout out to the Fruit in New York City. Moss 25 North, where you at? We shouting you out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam tonight. Washington, D.C., number 4. We see you, soldiers. We salute you out there. Down in here in Alabama, Birmingham, Mobile, Montgomery. Come on, soldiers. Boots on the ground. Let's get their final calls. Go door to door. Go get our people. Our sole purpose is to deliver the 17 million more to the Lamb of God. Who is that? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as he takes him to the Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So come on, soldiers. Boots on the ground. Let's get it done. Fill the mosque up on Sundays. We'll be back next week, Allah willing. We love you, dear Apostle, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we love your family. May Allah bless us to come back next week. See you soon. Allahu Akbar. As-salamu alaykum.
Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.